Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, we're back. Marks and Race, Johnny Marks, Ike Race, the GOAT of Broad Street, greatest of all time. Who is the best Philadelphia athlete of the last 50 years? Checking in at number three is Reggie White. We'll announce number one and number two tomorrow. It's all brought to you by a better financial plan, increased returns, decreased risk. Call 855-983-1346. Reggie, number three. Number seven all-time NFL player that I was watching a YouTube video of this morning. Certainly, when you look at the numbers, there's no arguing the greatness of Reggie White.
Yep.
An amazing player and an amazing middle linebacker for the Eagles. Spent his entire career here in Philadelphia. Byron Evans joins us. What's up, B&E?
Zach, how you doing, man? Ike, what's going on, my brother?
What's going on, B&E? How you doing, man?
Hey, blessed, man. Blessed.
So give us, a quick catch up on what you've been up to and how's things been going for you.
Well, first of all, man, you know, being in Arizona, the only thing you can kind of do is kind of try to beat the heat. You can't beat the heat. That's what we're just trying to beat the heat, first of all, and then just trying to stay out of the way of all this pandemic and this coronavirus and staying out of the way and, you know, man, and just a lot of things that's on the horizon out here, man. A lot of positive things, people protesting for, you know, for righteousness. And, man, you know, just blessed, man. Just enjoying my family, man. It's just giving me a chance to enjoy my family, man, to get closer to God, man. And just, you know, I'm just excited, man, about what 2020 is going to bring about.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. And we're getting closer to getting back to normalcy, which all of us could use right about now, B&E. Byron, talk to us a little bit about, and we're obviously honoring some of the greats that have played down on Broad Street over the last 50 years. Got you here to talk about your former great teammate and Reggie White. We had Seth on a little bit earlier to talk about Reggie, and he also talked about his time playing with Reggie. What was that like for you being the quarterback of that huddle with those great players in that huddle? What was that like for you during that time?
Man, I tell you, Ike, man, it was, like I said, it was truly a blessing, man. And first of all, it was sort of like, man, a kid, man, meeting, you know, Dr. J or somebody like that, man, looking up. And here I am standing. I got to tell the greatest. I know you say he's one of the greatest, man, but in my heart, man, and no, nobody better than Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White, Jerry Rice. Jim Brown, debatable, man.
Right.
You know, Reggie White is the greatest of all times, man, especially in football. Mm-hmm. But having to tell this big guy that I looked up to, man, and, hey, man, you got to get in the huddle, man. You got to get out of the huddle, man. You got to – come on, Reggie, what you doing? You know, man, it was just an awesome feeling. And I think even more than that, just what he stood for, man. The man of substance, man. Man of, you know, a substance of positivity, man, of greatness, man, practicing what you preach and really being able to appreciate that, man, and playing football would have just made it easy, just made football fun and made it easy.
Yeah, Byron, I think back to your defenses, and you come in the league, your third year in the league, you lead the league in tackles, and that defense was unbelievable between Reggie and Clyde and Jerome and Seth and you and the back end with your secondary. How good was that defense?
Hey, I tell you, Zach, just one of the best of all times, man. It, it, it don't really dawn on me, man, because it's something that we did, man. But to hear people talk about it just in 1988, if I can just give you a quick story, walking off that Soldier Field in the fog bowl, myself, Jerome Brown, and Jeff Fisher said, man, in order for this defense to work, man, number 56, you got to be in there. So over the whole offseason, man, I stayed there. I studied. I got what I needed to do. And being that was the last year of my contract, I had to get it down. Yeah. 1989, we played our first game against Seattle in the Vet. We beat Seattle, I want to say 24-0. I get a game ball. Buddy Ryan said, where's the middle linebacker at? He orchestrated it to perfection. And then I knew, man, it was my time. But just across the whole thing, man, we just made it fun. From Andre, the late West, Eric Allen, Ben Smith, Mark McMillan, William Thomas, Seth Joyner, Clyde Simmons, Mike Pitt. Reggie, Jerome, it was just fun. Football was fun, man. And we know we always had a chance.
Now, you obviously, B, showed that you could hang with the best of them and be out there leading the NFL in tackles is nothing to sneeze at. But I would have to imagine getting in that huddle with those guys early. Was there ever a moment of, oh man, I don't want to screw this up. I got all these great players with their eyes on me. Did you ever feel that type of pressure to have to sort of live up to the expectations of playing with those guys?
No, and I tell you too, it wasn't any pressure because everybody challenged each other.
Okay.
I saw Seth studying, man. I saw Eric Allen studying, and I'm saying like, if these guys not going home, where are they going with the popcorn? Not only were they great players, but they were great students of the game. They went in and studied, and that's something that I didn't have until I see Andre, I see Wes, I see Seth, I see Eric Allen, Clyde. They going in with their popcorn after practice. I'm saying like, well, it's time to go, man. No, they said it ain't time to go. We got to go in there. We get with Mike Dockery, and Mike gets us a cut up of whoever we're playing, and we already knew what they were doing before they did it, man. And so it just made it fun, man. I tell you, that was some of the funnest times of my life, some of the funnest times of my family's life. And, man, we're just proud to be Eagle, man. We still wear the green. We're proud, man.
Talking to Byron Evans. Byron, what do you remember as you're the Vet? Because when I think about you guys in the black cleats and that turf and just right. beating up the Giants and Phil Sims and all those NFC East battles, what do you remember from the Vet? What's your fondest memories?
The Vet, man, I tell you, man, we didn't even know how special it was. Yeah, a lot of people talk about the seams and the turfs and how hard it was, but just the majesty, just the magnificent, just the aura that was in the Vet, man. You could look up in that 700 and you see guys, cursing and fighting and man and getting after it and man, it was something special. I remember them guys, man, booed me, man. B&E, you suck, you're a bum, and rightly so because they knew football. Mm-hmm. But when when I got it, man, nothing like it's nothing. It wasn't nothing like the Vet. And I know the link is outstanding, man, but nothing like the Vet, man.
Yeah, you're right. There's nothing like playing on concrete.
Yeah. Hey, but see, that's the whole tackling technique, though, right? You got to let them fall on the concrete, not you fall.
Exactly. You make sure they go down first and you land on top of them. Yes.
There you go.
Well, when you think about those teams, Byron, because we felt like we had some good defenses here. Under Jim Johnson, and you guys were the measuring stick for us, in our opinion. We always felt that yourself, Reggie, Seth, Eric Allen, Jerome Brown, all you guys sort of set that bar for what Eagles defense was supposed to be like. And it was a defensive-led team, much like ours was at that time. But we didn't get it done, right? We didn't get the ultimate prize. And we know they finally won it in 2017. But I know when I get together with my former teammates, that's one of the things that inevitably comes up because we know how good we were as a team.
Right.
And we didn't necessarily get that done. And just your thoughts on that time and era of your Eagles football and sort of whether or not there's sort of bitter taste by not being able to sort of realize your full potential as a team.
Right. I don't know if it's bitter to like, but I know everything has to work in the play.
Yeah.
You know, everything has to work from the ownership, you know, to the coaching, to the players, to the acquisitions. You know, that everything has to work, man. You know, 1991, man, we playing the best football. We got the best defense. The first game, Green Bay Packers, Randall breaks his leg. We get another quarterback in. We get this in. We get this. Andre gets hurt. People got hurt. But
yeah.
The next year, you know, Jerome, you know, he has this unfortunate accident.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Buddy Ryan gets fired. And then, you know.
Seth leaves, Reggie leaves. Yeah, everybody starts leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah. One or two, keeping the right person. We had Jeff Fisher on our coaching staff. We had Wade Phillips. We had Matt Kavanaugh. We had some other guys on the coaching. But it first starts with ownership. You know, ownership. Reggie White, he's in the last year of his contract. How does Reggie White get into the last year of his contract?
Right.
First of all. Mm-hmm. Hey, come on. First of all. And that tells you right there. That tells you right there. If you want to win the championship, but then in 1992, everyone from Texas, they signed them guys. All them guys, they signed. Whereas we had our guys going free agent, they signed those guys. And that's why it's a tough situation, but everything has to fall in place. Everything has to fall in place. We were only one guy on offense, maybe one tackle, one guard, one this, one that on offense to really get things done. One player, one kick on defense, but everything has to fall in place.
Yeah, and I think when you talk to this fan base who was here during that time, that was certainly before I got here, the sentiment that I gathered from most of them is it had more to do with the team being broken up or not retained as opposed to the team not being good enough to get it done. You guys just didn't get enough cracks at it with a healthy squad to be able to get it done.
That's right. But I tell you, Ike, man, it was some of the greatest times, man, some of the greatest. You know, I go to Philadelphia out of Tucson, Arizona. I think about officer and the gentleman. Where you from? Tucson, Arizona. Tucson, Arizona. Yeah, I'm from Tucson, Arizona, and I go to Philadelphia, one of the most, you know, ethnic cities and with a lot of culture, a lot of history, and I'm there and I'm here in my dream, man. I'm seeing these guys, and I don't know. Andre Water takes me under his wing. We go down to South Street. My people live in South Street, still down on South Philadelphia, Emily Street, Moore Street, McKean Street, Dudley Street, you know, and I go up there, my people, and they take me in, man, and, you know, it's just like home, man. It's the second home, and I was supposed to be in Philadelphia.
Oh, the great Byron Evans. Beanie, yep. Thanks for a few minutes, man. Great talking to you.
We appreciate it, Brian.
Hey, not a problem, man. Thank you, guys, man. Yep.
Right.
I'm blessed.
There he is, Byron Evans.
B&E.
He only called me Jack twice. Jack?
I thought you did a great interview.
Well, I mean, I got to put that on you.
That's definitely on him.
Why
is it on me?
So, but see,
No. Oh.
Since I've never had to actually train him because,
right.
Unfortunately, I'm on the other side of the thing. What do you say to a guest when you're putting them on hold?
You're on with such and such.
Well, I sent a text message, John Marks and Ike Reese.
Right, but did you say your name was Jack?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he thinks he's talking to you then.
Right.
I stated in the text I was the producer.
Right, right. So before you put him on, say, hey, you know, you're going to be talking to John Marks and Ike Reese.
Hey, hand up. It's on me.
Yeah, let me just tell you, I do enough interviews. Yeah, I need to know exactly who I'm going on with right before I go on, or I won't address them by their name.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I'll just keep it broad.
If you know what you're doing, you'll ask, who am I going on with again, just so you know.
Right, yes.
But if you don't know, you won't say the name. You don't want to say the wrong guy's
name.
Yeah,
you don't want to say the wrong guy's name.
And I didn't want to correct him because he was just going to be like, oh, I'm sorry. I mean, it doesn't matter for the course of the interview.
But it's always the guy that's not the athlete.
Of course. Yeah, well, who am I? He obviously knows you.
I can't believe he didn't remember his teammate on the 96 Eagles.
Ooh.
John.
Yes. Well, no, he wasn't around in 96. That's the problem. 94 was his last year. All right, we thank B&E. Brian Dawkins is coming up at 5 o'clock.
How about that?
Can't wait to talk to B-Doc. Yesterday, B-Doc. He was number four on the GOAT of Broad Street. Reggie White comes in at number three. So it's coming down to Allen Iverson or Michael Jack Schmidt.
Who would have thought?
I mean, Schmidt, yes. Allen Iverson, right. No. No. He wasn't even in my top five.
Well, he should have been in your top
no.
five.
No. Over who?
Well, over a lot of athletes. I mean, if you're just looking at the GOAT of Broad Street, I mean, AI was the GOAT down
I told
there.
You. I looked at this too technically when I did the right. list. I'm like, yeah. Well, Steve Carlton had four Cy Youngs. How could he not be number two?
Listen,
very easily.
You say it all the time. You're very fair and objective, and that's how you approach this list.
I tried to be, yes.
Objective.
Yeah.
You don't think with your heart.
No, yeah. this wasn't a popularity contest with me. This was a strict Schmidt, Carlton, Reggie, Doc, Clark. They were my top five. And there was no way in hell that those five were going to be on that list because they're all older players, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I knew there was no way Lefty was going to be in that top
no,
five.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, I knew that.
Not at all. I was. But that was my list.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to the phones. We have Mark Sledgehammer from Collegeville. What's up, Sledge?
Johnny Marks, how you doing, Philly guy?
What are you doing? How are you?
I'm hanging in there. What's up, Mike?
What's up, Mark? Oh, I'm sorry. What's up, Sledgehammer?
That's cool. Like, you know, once again, Collegeville, LTBB.
LTBB.
There you go. There's the Bronco. There you go.
He's one of my favorites, too.
Just program note for the LTBB community. I saw another list where the Bronco was ranked number six of quarterbacks ahead of Dak, who was ranked at number eight. That's according to Chris Sims, just to keep that posted for everybody. Top 40 quarterbacks. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, Reggie at number three, you know, I think that's okay. I mean, I would have liked to see them at two or one, but, you know, hey. Top five, well deserved. He was a heck of a player. You know him. You know that line. Didn't he play with the Fridge?
Did the Fridge come here?
He was here later on, though. That was after Reggie was gone.
That
I believe.
Okay.
The Fridge came here.
He did. He was here for a few years.
Oh yep. Wow.
Yeah. So,
never talk about that.
No, we don't. I'm gonna Google it real fast. Go ahead, Mark.
But I'm gonna touch on something with Doc real quick. But before I do that. Whole thing with the fan stadium, you know, I would like to see it, you know, on a level field, you know, but at the end of the day, it's not really an advantage or disadvantage to the players. It's more of an advantage or disadvantage to the fans because you're going to have limitations at certain places where people want to go and they're not going to be able to. So really it's the fans who are going to be at the disadvantage, not the players. Because like you said, like, you know, the players, If they're good enough and they're professional enough, shit matter if it's 100,000, 10, or even
yeah, but it 100. Does. But it does. I mean, it's such BS. It
no,
does
it
matter.
It does not.
It
matter.
Does matter. It does why? Matter. Why do you think it matters? Why do you think home field advantage matters? Why do you think the crowd noise matters? It matters.
I don't know how much the home field advantage matters to the Baltimore Ravens.
How much does it matter? To what?
Yeah. How much did it matter
in the playoff game?
Yeah.
I mean, if Lamar Jackson would have played better, it might have mattered.
Well, they were at home.
Right.
They lost.
If he would have played better, maybe it would have mattered.
How much did it? Exactly. You're just making my point.
No.
No, it is. You're right. It's up to the players on the field. How much did it matter to Tom Brady when Tennessee went there and beat them the week before?
How much did it matter?
Yeah.
I guess it didn't matter that much.
Exactly.
So home. So playing on the road, the stadium presents no advantage.
No, that's
for the
not
home
what
team.
I said. It doesn't matter as much as you're making it out to be, to where you would claim it to be unfair. Of course, it matters a little bit. Any team would want to be at home as opposed to having to travel. I've always felt that the disadvantage to a road team is the actual traveling, and depending on how far you're going. But I've never felt the disadvantage was the crowd noise. We know that it's an advantage for the home team to have their crowd be quiet and then be loud when the road team is there. But I've seen far too many NFL teams go on a road. The better team wins. They go on the road and win. The team that executes the best that day wins.
Yeah. Yes. That is true. It's I don't believe that it's relevant to the conversation.
Well, sure it is, because if you're talking about from a playing standpoint, of course it's relevant to the conversation.
No.
I mean, Mark just made it perfect. It's a disadvantage for fans, because more fans get to go to a game at home as opposed to another team's home team getting to go to a game to enjoy the game. But if you're a good team, I don't care where you play the Kansas City Chiefs at, you're probably going to lose.
Yes. But I believe that's almost separate. The Refrigerator Perry played 24 games with the Eagles. So it's the only other team that he played. I don't know if he got cut or he got traded by Chicago. And then he played a full season after that with the Eagles. So there you go. Some nicknames here. Is Five a good nickname? Because we've had a lot of fives on Twitter, at Mark Sharice WIP.
Yes, Five is a good nickname.
I tend to
Number Five will always love you.
It's one of the few numerical nicknames that actually work.
Did he have that coming in, or did someone assign him that?
I know we've been calling him Five since his rookie year.
He was Five at Syracuse. Was he? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, he was Number Five. I don't know if they called him
Five. Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
I know we did in our locker room. It started his rookie year.
Is there another example of that? Is there another, like?
I can't think of another number. I mean, somebody might refer, when you say 2-3, we know you're talking about MJ.
Or 5-8.
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah, 5-8 would be the other example.
5-8.
MJ, Ike Reese.
It's not as good as 5, though.
No, 5 is actually a great nickname.
No, 5 is good.
It is. I don't know if it makes the GOAT top 5.
Of course it's not.
Well,
yes.
I mean, listen, there's a lot of good other ones, like Concrete Charlie.
Oh, yeah. I got a few that hasn't been named.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to give them all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Concrete Charlie is in my opinion, that's a GOAT nickname.
It is.
Especially considering it was because he laid concrete in the offseason.
That's the other thing about
and
a nickname.
And he played linebacker.
You can't assign yourself a nickname, right? It has to be natural from your teammates or from other people, your family or something like that.
No, I disagree with that.
Well, really? Like the king with Howard Eskin, you know?
Yeah, I completely disagree with that. Because, A, most people aren't original. And, B, if you want the nickname to really stick, the player has to like the nickname. And most players aren't going to like a nickname somebody else gives. Now, if it's a cool one, it's a cool one. But most athletes aren't going to accept a nickname they don't necessarily view to be a cool nickname.
Sure. I agree with that. Boston Strangler's a good one.
That's a good one.
How about a WOAT nickname? Fred X. That's from Mike Walsh on Twitter.
It's a good one.
Fred X was a good one.
It is a
good
one.
Nickname.
What was his other one?
People's Champ.
Yeah, that was it.
Many nicknames.
Like Shaq. Shaq gave himself several nicknames.
Shaq Fu?
Yeah, he had several nicknames. Superman, that wasn't even original.
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, Dwight Howard used Superman.
He did. It wasn't a good nickname. Well,
215, it's Superman.
215-592-9494. Marks and Reese, 215-592-9494. We'll continue the stadium discussion. Is it fair to have one stadium and one team be able to sell out their place, but another stadium, like maybe the Eagles, you can only have 25% capacity? Because that's what the NFL is going to allow to do. Also, a year ago today, the quintessential moment of the Gabe Kapler era happened. What was it? Find out coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.